It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening. I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. We have a great show for you today. We've had a lot of great shows over the last several weeks. Randy Backman was amazing, and we're going to continue a little bit of the Canadian content today. Half the show is going to be from my homeland, the other half from my place of residence now. But Randy Backman was great a couple weeks ago. Montel Williams, really good. Suzanne Summers. And Congressman Jamie Raskin was great as well. And we're going to ask our first guest a little bit about the role that she's playing up in Canada and how she would compare it to maybe the role that Congressman Raskin has been playing as one of the lead investigators in the Donald Trump January 6th attack on the Capitol. But we do have two powerhouse women attorneys on the show today. One is probably just getting started, and the other one, well, she would probably agree that she's been around a few years. So later in the show, we'll have Gloria Allred on, and she's going to play second fiddle to our first guest. Gloria doesn't always want to do that, but, she's been on these shows so many times that I'm sure she will defer. She's going to talk about a big victory that her clients had to stop discrimination in beauty pageants against women who become pregnant, who are pregnant, who have had babies, mothers. And there was a big victory within the last while, and she's going to talk a little bit about that. She had a press conference with former Miss Ukraine, Veronika Didysenko, and Andrea Kuroga, another beauty pageant contestant. So we'll talk to Gloria a little bit later, but let's focus on the up-and-comer, the one that has been said to be Canada's next legal icon, and I know she's smiling when I say it. She's a trial lawyer and partner with Hennin Hutchison in Toronto, and Hennin Hutchison is widely recognized as one of the top litigation firms in Canada. They're attorneys for some of the more high-profile and controversial cases. She has also been a leader in continuing education for lawyers and students at a tender young age. She tweets at M.D. Robitaille. So I just gave you a clue. It is Danielle Robitaille. I know you've been waiting to hear who this is. She's the co-host of the Lawyers Lounge podcast. So she is familiar with podcasting, and she can probably teach me a thing or two. Along with Principal Marie Hennin, she won an acquittal in a very high sexual assault trial in Canada of ex-CBC star Jean Gomeschi on five counts. She co-counseled that, and I think Marie Hennin was probably the lead. Marie Hennin is a legend in Canada, and Danielle is the recipient of the Lexbert Rising Star Award and Best Lawyer Recognition for Criminal Defense in 2021 and 2022. She's co-author of a textbook, Sentencing Principles and Practice, and it's her first appearance, and hopefully not her last. Welcome to Gervie's Law, Danielle Robitaille.
Hey, Alan. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing up in Toronto, where my family lives and where I will be visiting shortly?
We'll be pleased to have you back in Toronto. I can tell you that today I'm in beautiful Prince Edward County. We're here for our associate retreat. So we've been, doing some strategic planning with the firm, mooting with the associates, enjoying the fine weather. So I'm in a great mood.
I have heard so much about Prince Edward County, and I've always wanted to go. I have not been. This time I'm going, I'm bringing my two little kids, Hudson and Harper, 8 and 9 years old. And we will probably go to Niagara Falls and maybe Wonderland. But I have to, when I come with my wife and the whole family, we have to go on this retreat there. It won't be the same as your retreat, I'm sure. But I hear it's beautiful, and I hope you're enjoying it. I want to talk to you. First of all, have you ever been on a program where you were the guest and Gloria Allred was a second guest on the show?
It's pretty wild, Ellen. I was not expecting that. No one warned me.
I will tell you why you could not have been warned, and that's because the original guest, Judge Mathis, who has done a television show here, and I don't know if it's in Canada, but it's like Judge Judy. He's been doing it for 23 years, and unfortunately, at the last second, which happens a lot, he got busy, and he rebooked for the show. So we gave Gloria a call, and she said, of course, I'd be happy to come on. If Danielle Robitaille is going to be on, and she's going to be talking... If she's going to talk about Hockey Canada investigation, I want to talk about the beauty pageant discrimination policy. So we're going to leave that for Gloria to talk about. But let's talk first to you about this big investigation. Now, I have to say, and I mentioned this earlier, we had Congressman Jamie Raskin on a couple weeks ago, and he has been overseeing the House investigation of the January 6th attack here in the United States at the Capitol. And he said it's so different in this role than he was professor of law, and he practiced law, Harvard Law graduate, who had, interesting enough, Alan Dershowitz as his criminal law professor. And Alan was on our show the week before Jamie was. And Jamie didn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about what Alan is doing now versus how he was back then when he taught. But that's another story. Jamie said that when you're in this role, you're tempted to really go after some of the witnesses and get a lot of testimony through cross-examination, but you can't do that. You have to kind of maintain this impartial fact-finding process. So tell us a little bit about the Hockey Canada investigation of claims of alleged sexual assault involving players on Canada's 2018 World Junior Hockey Team and how you have been involved and whether or not it has been difficult to maintain that kind of impartial role.
Well, I guess the first thing that I have to say, Alan, and I was telling your producer a little bit about this, and I know you're well aware, you know, the Canadian legal culture is very different than the American legal culture in that you're very rarely going to hear from a lawyer about a case that they're involved in at the time. And so I'm not going to talk about that investigation because it's still ongoing. And really, Canadian legal culture prevents me from chatting about it. And I, of course, I don't want to do anything to compromise my investigation. But what I can say is that I have been doing workplace investigations and investigations for organizations really from the outset of my practice. And so I've had the ability to represent complainants in criminal matters, and of course, accused people who are accused of crimes by Her Majesty. And in Canada, that's who it is. It's Her Majesty the Queen. And perform these investigations and then do some teaching as well. And it's really kind of the cool thing about our profession is you can look at a problem and attack it from different angles. You can wear different hats. And certainly I would agree with Raskin that the investigation hat requires objectivity, impartiality, cooling your temper, making sure that your mind is open. And those are different skills. You know, they're different parts of legal training that you need to access to do the job properly. And so it's really fun. It's part of what makes the job so interesting. And I think such a great one for young people to consider is that you can kind of take on different roles at different times through your career and different days of the week.
You know, it's interesting. You sound just like your mentor, Marie Hennin, with regard to giving interviews and talking about cases. She has made it clear that she doesn't believe in that. And, you know, again, we mentioned Gloria Allred. a diametrically opposed view on getting into the media, as she does a lot of press conferences. But Marie Hennen also said that there are certain times where she felt it was important to talk about a case.
Yeah.
I remember an interview she did with Peter Mansbridge some years back on the Gomeshi case, and she said it was important that she gives this interview to, I don't know if it's set the record straight or there were some people who weren't pleased about her role in that, being a woman. So how do you respond to that? And what has she told you regarding when to be out there and when not to be out there?
Sure. Well, you know, first of all, Marie Hennen, who you stated at the top, is a legal legend in Canada. That's certainly true. And she's been my mentor for over 15 years now, my law partner now. And, you know, she really is restrained in terms of her public commentary and will speak when, in her view, and after careful deliberation, she's concluded that it's necessary to promote confidence in the administration of justice. And so that's really kind of the line that she draws. And of course, you know, there are other times where it's a requirement for the client, it's in the best interest of the client to speak publicly. And you know, Gloria's job is to point a spotlight on matters that are often shoved under the rug,
right,
and are, you know, deserving of more attention and less stigma. And so, you know, her role is very different than the role of an advocate in a criminal case where they're representing the accused. So, you know, these decisions are not made lightly. And, of course, in Canada, the culture is way more conservative on these matters,
right,
and
right,
probably much closer to the British model. So, for example, our police officers will rarely conduct press conferences for even high-profile matters. You know, you'll hear very little about an investigation until a charge is laid, and you know, very little until the jury's impaneled. So, you know, these differences to me are very, very fascinating. And
Danielle, you're being so diplomatic. Why don't you just say it, that, you know, the American system really promotes a lot of media whoreism. I just made that word up. In fact, it reminds me, when Gloria was first on my show about 9 years ago, I said, does it bother you when people call you a media whore? And she just said, you know what? They can call me whatever they want because I'm giving a voice to those who don't have one. So it's similar to what you just said about, you know, what she's doing representing people who are not necessarily charged of a crime. You know, interestingly, we had Blair Burke on the show, criminal attorney here. I'm not sure if you've heard of her, but she's handled so many celebrity cases, and she was as tight-lipped as Marie Hennen and Daniel Robitaille are, because it was a whole different ball game. But she did talk about principles, as you are. We do have to take a break, and I do want to ask you some general questions, not specific, about the Hockey Canada investigation, not asking you what your role is, but just so people kind of know what's gone on that. It's in the media, so it's not, you're not speaking out of school, so to speak. And we want to talk about the Lawyers Lounge. That's important because it's a great podcast. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And Wayman, to the great, you know, it's not Murphy's Law, it's Gervie's Law. We didn't have that, but that's okay because it never made sense anyway. I don't know how Gervie's Law has anything to do with Murphy's Law, but that's the bumper that they've been playing. And it's nice. We just heard a little tune, you know. We didn't have the Backman Turner Hofer Tribe music that we had in the show with Randy Backman, but that's cool. You ain't seen nothing yet. So we're talking to Danielle Robitaille, and she is partner at Hennen Hutchison, which is a very well-known Toronto law firm. And we were talking a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit about the Hockey Canada investigation into claims of alleged sexual assault involving players on Canada's 2018 World Junior Hockey Team. Some months back, I had Theron Fleury on the show, who played for the Calgary Flames, and he talked about abuse when he was a kid, and we talked about Sheldon Kennedy, who is well known for talking out about abuse of his hockey coach, Graham James, who coincidentally was my coach when I played baseball in Winnipeg years ago. No problem with Graham at the time, but some of the hockey players, unfortunately, had severe and significant issues with sexual abuse, and Graham was convicted of that. Danielle, let's just talk for a moment about the Hockey Canada issue here. Not asking about your investigation, not asking about witness testimony or anything. Just if you can explain to people in the United States who may not be familiar with the issues that are in the media with this sexual assault incident, I guess, the 2018 World Junior Hockey Team.
Well, Alan, you know, I'm really reluctant to talk about it, but what I can say is that there are allegations that members of the 2018 gold-winning men's hockey team, junior team, sexually assaulted a young woman when they were attending an event in London, Ontario, in June of 2018. And those allegations became public a few months ago and have been the subject of a great amount of publicity in newspapers, radio, and television in Canada, and commentary, as well as parliamentary hearings. And so it's been a big news story in Canada, and of course it's the subject matter of work that I'm conducting right now. But obviously it's extremely sensitive. It involves Canada's national sport, sexual allegations. So it's very serious and very high profile.
And you would say that it's fluid right now, that things are still unfolding. Nothing has been resolved.
Correct.
Well, you know, it's interesting because earlier in the show, you talked about the differences in Canadian and U.S. Law, especially when it comes to this. And with social media, we see here in this country, like you just said, how important these issues are and how important it is to get to the bottom of things. So I do commend you for doing this work, regardless of how it turns out. I think it's important that, you know, whatever happened in this situation and in others is addressed. And that's not Gloria Allred speaking. That's just Alan Gervey saying that if we can prevent things, whatever they are, and I'm not saying anything specific about this case, but from occurring that are harming, hurting people and against the law, it's important that both countries proceed with these investigations and that they are done fairly and with people who are serious about being upfront and not prejudicial in any way. So we'll leave it at that. Let's talk about something that I think you're more comfortable with talking about in the media, and that's the Lawyer's Lounge. Tell us about the podcast.
Sure. So the Lawyer's Lounge is a podcast that I'm currently hosting by myself. Unfortunately, my co-host took a political gig in Ottawa and abandoned me.
Oh, that wasn't nice.
I know. Yeah. Apparently, Justin Trudeau is more attractive than me.
Well, I don't know. If people want to check out, look you up, Danielle Robitaille and Justin Trudeau, you know, you don't have that remnants of a gray beard. So I'm going with you on this one.
Well, thanks, Alan. So, you know, the podcast is really just kind of a fun opportunity to speak to Canadian advocates on various legal topics, some career profile stuff. And it was during the pandemic a real boost for me personally, because we were not meeting in the Lawyer's Lounge, which right. is, you know, the place lawyers go when they're on break or at lunch and trial to chat with each other and connect and shoot the breeze and gossip and all of that.
Gossip? So, no.
Not Canadian lawyers.
No, not on not on Bay Street. There's no gossip.
So, you know, I've had so much fun doing it. And I can't imagine, Alan, what it must be like putting together a show every week. But I find it tremendously restorative and really kind of a fun side hustle. I you must feel the same way.
Absolutely. You know, and I know you've got, what, a couple kids? Is that right? So what I do is when after they've gone, and I assume they're fairly young, that they go to sleep before you do. It is a great way on a night or two to just focus on something that isn't your work, that maybe isn't your family life and everything. It's just something different that you can get into in preparation for whoever you're going to speak to.
Yeah. And I feel like it's an opportunity also to shine a positive light on the profession. You know, like we all get the lawyer jokes and the stereotypes, and it's all fun and games, but there is this wonderful opportunity for people who are willing to work hard and have the passion to have a wonderful life full of challenge and intrigue and rewards. And I sometimes feel like we don't talk about that enough.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's such a positive thing. We only have a minute or so. We do have to talk to Gloria Allred, you know, and I know that we're enjoying talking to you. But I wanted to ask you, how do people get to the Lawyer's Lounge, not physically?
Sure.
And what do you have coming up? What do you plan on having on the podcast coming up?
So you can access all our episodes on Apple Podcasts and just search for The Lawyer's Lounge, and you'll see that we have a number of episodes. I'm not as disciplined as you are, Alan, so I have to say it. I don't have anything coming down the pike, but people can access my latest interview with Mona Duckett, who is a legendary trial lawyer from Edmonton, who has litigated just amazing cases. I think she's represented the most women charged with homicide in Canada of any advocate. And so she's a fascinating interview. She was actually willing to talk about a couple of cases that had been in the press recently, but any lawyer or law student will just gobble up that interview. So I commend it to you.
You know, and I think it's interesting to a layperson. You don't have to be a law student or a lawyer to listen to Lawyer's Lounge. Interesting stuff. There are a lot of lay lawyers who like to hear what people like you who are right in the thick of things say about the law and about all the innuendos that we deal with. So that's the Lawyer's Lounge. Daniel Robitaille, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today on Gervie's Law. Wishing you all the best, and check her out. She tweets at MD Robitaille, and look her up, Lawyer's Lounge. Thanks, Danielle.
Thanks, Alan.
Take care. All right, we're going to be back with Gloria Allred after this break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We're back. When we hear that song, we know who's coming on next. And we need to congratulate Gloria Allred, because big victory in this discriminatory policy that beauty pageants have been pursuing for many years, as long as I guess I've been watching them. And I've been watching beauty pageants a long time. We talk about, you know, women who are pregnant or who have had children and who are discriminated against. And Gloria Allred and her clients, Veronica Didyusenko, who's former Miss Ukraine, Andrea Kiroga, all together put their efforts together to change policy that is so important moving forward. Gloria Allred, welcome back to Gervie's Law.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me on this important subject. And we have Andrea on the line for your show, of course, and Veronica as well. And I know you want to hear from them. But essentially, the eligibility language for Miss California, which whoever wins Miss California can go on and then compete for the Miss USA, and whoever wins Miss USA then can go on and compete for Miss Universe. So that's how that works.
Yeah.
But here is when, in March, when we did a press conference, in order to be eligible for these three contests, here was the quote on the webpage: must never have given birth to a child, cannot be pregnant, or be a parent. So in other words, even if you were, that end quote, so even if you were a parent who had adopted a child or was foster caring a child, then you would be disqualified from, you know, being eligible to be in Miss California. Actually, on the webpage, the Miss USA application process stated, and you're going to love this, Alan, quote,
yeah,
here are some final questions to ask yourself. Have I ever given birth to a child? Am I the legal parent or guardian of anyone?
Oh, my goodness.
Am I currently pregnant? If you answered no to all of those questions, congrats, you're eligible.
Wow.
End quote. Yeah, that was right there, black and white. And so
I don't know who's doing their webpage, but man, they got to have a little respect for women.
Well, it's called discrimination on its face right there. And so then after I had met with Veronica, who brought all these things to my attention about the Miss Universe and also Miss World pageant, I was contacted by Andrea Quiroga, who wanted to apply to both pageants, but she wasn't eligible because she has a son. So she retained me to represent her on this issue. And we held a press conference on March 9th, 2022. And I believe you've covered this issue when we did it.
Right.
Which, because you're always like right on the forefront of issues. Then I said that I felt that it violated California's Unruh Civil Rights Act. So on behalf of Andrea, I said I'd be asking the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, which is called DFEH, to open a complaint investigate with the goal of eliminating this discriminatory practice. And I'm very happy to report today that they did decide to file a complaint, the DFEH, and they did open an investigation. And so today we're happy to report that it appears that the Miss Universe beauty pageant, which, as I said, encompasses the Miss California and Miss USA pageant, has eliminated this discriminatory eligibility requirement of which we complained. And
wow.
So now, and Alan, as a result of our efforts, Miss USA has completely removed this rule, which I had read to you, from their list of entry requirements. And Miss California's website now states, quote, may be married, have been married, and have had a marriage annulled, may have given birth to a child, may be pregnant, or be a parent, end quote. So that is a major victory and turnaround for all women who may wish to be eligible for these pageants, but who would have been ineligible because of the previous rule. So we fought for the elimination of that previous rule, which discriminated against so many women, and we won a victory, not only for women in the United States, but also in many other countries as well. And this sexist rule, which, if you can believe this, has been in effect since the 1950s, is now history.
Gloria, it's incredible. It's incredible. And you did it in such a short time. And I want to speak to Veronica and Andrea in a second.
Yes.
But before I do, I have to ask you, how were you able to affect change so quickly? What did it that made them change this policy and the website so fast? Because when I spoke to you last about this, you were just kind of formulating a plan. I think Veronica had just come to you, and it wasn't many months ago.
March.
How did it happen so quickly after 50 years of the discriminatory policy? What did you do to get it changed?
Yeah, actually, I think it was probably more like 70 years. And, we had the press conference and we did what I said we were going to do. You know, we contacted the state agency, which is in charge of investigating discrimination under the Civil Rights Act. And they don't open a complaint just because you contact them. They have to make a decision, and they did decide this is, you know, an issue that they should open a complaint for. And then they're doing an investigation, and all I can tell you is, you know, they changed it. And we're happy for the change. We claim it as a victory. And now women in other countries as well, I understand the rules now have been changed for Miss Universe in Mexico.
That's amazing.
And Miss Universe in other countries. And so we're just so proud to have worked with Veronica and also with Andrea I've often said that being pregnant or giving birth or being a parent is not a crime. It's not a communicable disease. It shouldn't be a basis for excluding a woman from an employment or business opportunity. And even if she's a miss or a Ms., has been divorced or never married, she shouldn't be excluded because of her marital status or her status as a parent.
Gloria, in the past, I've said to you whether it bothered you that people criticize you sometimes for doing these press conferences. And you've always said, we're giving a voice to people who don't have it. Isn't this a perfect example of what a press conference can do to affect change and all these naysayers?
Combined with a complaint to a governmental agency that took it seriously. And, you know, and of course, people know and businesses know that, you know, I don't just stop if they don't do something about it. It's got to change. You know, I've litigated cases for 16 years. I litigated one case against the Catholic Church for 23 years. And, you know, we'll go the distance if we think it's appropriate to do so and if that's what our client wants. So better to settle early and change the policy than to be facing me for the next 23 years.
Veronica, yeah, exactly. I don't want to face you for 23 years.
No, nobody wants to face me in the first place if they could avoid it. Go ahead.
There you go. You know, Veronica, it's so nice to talk to you again because we spoke back in March. And, you know, and at that time you were coming here with your son and we were worried about you and your son. Just quickly, before we talk about this victory, how are you doing since you've got out of the Ukraine, and how is your son doing?
Oh, it's been a lot. You know, the war in Ukraine is around 6 months now, so it's a long time. We're here safe with my son, but, you know, there is still battle. You know, there is still war in Ukraine. People are still fighting for their freedom. So me and everyone, all of the Ukrainians throughout the world, we do everything we can to help Ukraine. In being here in the U.S., we also, apart from a press conference about Miss Universe and Miss World rules, we also did a press conference about the war in Ukraine. So I'm trying to do my best to help Ukraine with using all of the means we, you know, I can use. Yeah. And I'm grateful to Gloria for supporting this. And
it means
a lot for me and for many Ukrainians throughout the world.
Yeah, and that's so important. And I know that you're thankful to Gloria, but she's thankful to you, too. When you brought this up to her, did you ever think that change could be affected so quickly? Now, I know it's impacted you, but for future generations and women who want to get involved, you've really opened doors. Did you ever think that would happen when you first spoke to Gloria?
Honestly, I know an honest answer. I never thought I could have support of, you know, Gloria Allred, the worldwide icon and, you know, women's rights activist, like legend of women's rights movement. And when she was ready to listen to me and to, you know, to take the case, it was something, you know, mind-blowing. It was a moment, you know, which I will never forget. It's something which was the first step to this victory for women's rights. So honestly, I could never believe something like this could happen. But now we have this huge victory together with Andrea, and I'm really proud of what we did within the last, I think, 8 months we've been working on this case.
Not that long. Let me talk to Andrea real quickly before we go to a break. Tell us how you got involved. I know Gloria had kind of given us a little taste of it, but tell us your feeling and why you were so passionate about this.
Yeah, so I was so passionate about this because I wanted to participate in this pageant for so long, since I was a little girl. And when I had my son at 19, I wasn't able to apply anymore. And, you know, I thought that was the end of it. I said, okay, well, I can't do this, but, like, it's fine. And then in 2019, I saw a press conference from Ukraine, and it was Veronica speaking, and she was standing up to the injustice that these pageants are doing to us mothers and women. And when I saw her just stand there so fearlessly and fight for her rights, I immediately looked her up on Instagram, and I said, oh my goodness, like, you know, she's just like me. Like, I went through this, and I need to do something. I need to contact Veronica. I need to let her know my story. So I reached out to her, and believe it or not, she did not reach out to me until like 2 years later. 2 years later, and she sent me a message, and she said, Andrea, how would you like to be a part of Right to Be a Mother campaign? I said, yes, I would love to be a part of this, because to me, it would mean like everything in the world to be able to change these rules so women don't have to go through this discrimination anymore. And then from there, everything happened so fast for me, and I just completely got blown away after meeting Gloria and Gloria sitting down and actually listening to my story and being so supportive of me. And I just thought, oh my goodness, like this is my calling. Like, I need to stand up for this fight. And we did it. We got victory.
It's amazing. What a team you make. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more to Gloria, Veronica, and Andrea. We're going to talk about this victory and what it means for the future. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are celebrating women's rights today on Gervie's Law, talking to Gloria Allred about the recent victory where the beauty pageants have changed their policies, which were discriminatory against pregnant women, women who have had children, women who have children, and have changed it for the better, opening this up to women without limitation. Is that, Gloria, what we can take from this victory, that there will be no limitations, or will you be fighting this later on other grounds, for instance, age or size or anything like that?
You know, I wait until someone comes to me and asks me to represent them on an issue, and then I determine whether the facts and the law are such that, you know, we could win change in the legal system or not. So all I can tell you is we are interested. We are investigating what else is going on in the beauty pageants. There is something, you know, at least one or maybe even two other issues that I want to address. So we'll see what happens and what we do in the future. But we do feel that there are other issues of discrimination by beauty pageants. So we will continue.
And it's a good message to our listeners that if there are issues that need to be brought to Gloria's attention, that they can contact you at your firm. And, of course, you take many, many calls, yourself and your partners and staff, to determine what you can help with. And obviously some of them you just can't. I want to ask.
Exactly. So they can just go to my webpage, which is GloriaAllred.com.
Right.
A-L-L-R-E-D. And then they can find out how to contact us. We're also listed.
It's a great website. It has all the information to contact you. So that's, you know, GloriaAllred.com. You can see everything you need to. One of the ways I assume Veronica and Andrea got a hold of you, I want to ask you, Andrea, now that this is changing, are you still looking to get involved, or do you feel like you've done this for others? Do you still have personal goals, as you mentioned earlier, from childhood that you wanted to be involved in the pageants?
You know, to be completely honest, like when we started this, I never imagined that we would like get victory so quickly. So in my mind, it was like, okay, I'm doing this for others. I'm doing this for other women because by next year I won't be eligible. So in my mind, it was just like, I need to do this for the next Andrea Quiroga, for the next Veronica Zizosenko. And now that this change happened so quickly, now I'm really just like, okay, I really have to think about it because now I can participate. So I don't know. I just, it's so much to take in.
Of course.
Well, what about you, Veronica?
Oh, you know, Andrea, you must participate. I believe in you. You know, for me, it's slightly similar situation because, honestly, you know,
Andrea and Gloria, you know, we've been working for 8 months, but for me, campaigning has been for 4 years now, you know.
Yeah.
For me, I'm still honestly shocked that we did it since 4 years, and of me doing it, and I have, like, you know, a huge team who helped me. And now I also, as Andrea, have an opportunity to participate next year. And honestly, I think I would rather do it, you know. We'll see what happens next.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. Both of you, if you have eligibility, you want to do it, the door's open.
We want to do it. And we want to encourage other women to do so. Because I got so many messages from women throughout the world who wanted to participate, but they could not because they've been married. They, you know, was divorced.
Yeah.
They gave birth to a child. And now it's such a celebration of all women around the globe. And they have this right.
I think it also opens up people, the audience, to see different women and to hear what they have to say who have different experiences in life, like having a child versus always the same past where that wasn't even something that could be talked about. And now, you know, I think the audience will enjoy it more. Gloria, I have to ask you. Are they going to promote this? When I say they, I'm talking about the beauty pageant people. Like, do they see this as a victory at all? Obviously you do, and Andrea and Veronica does, but did they do this begrudgingly, or are they going to promote that this is open up to a lot more women than it ever was?
I can't answer that question. This is Gloria. And I have to get off, but Veronica can stay on with you, and so can Andrea.
Okay.
All I can say is we'll see what they do in the future. But for now, they've removed from their webpage that requirement that to be Miss California or Miss USA or Miss Universe, you know,
yeah,
you don't have to say whether you've ever been pregnant. It's okay if you have been, whether you were married, you were married or divorced, or you were just a parent from, you know, because you were adopted or whatever. You know, you're now eligible. So this is great. Anyway,
right. thank you
so much for having us on. Veronica and Andrea will stay with you.
Yeah, I have a few more minutes. I've got a few more questions. Gloria, thanks very much.
You go ahead.
Congratulations again, Gloria.
Thank you so much.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon. Veronica, I want to follow up on the question that I asked Gloria. What is your opinion? You know, you've been involved in beauty pageants for a long time now. Do you think that the people who run these pageants will promote this, or do you think they'll try and keep it quiet?
You know, they must do so. So it's a big victory for women's rights. We don't see them really doing this at the moment, even though the national committees of Miss Universe, they released official statements that rules they have been changed. You know, it's still, as Gloria said, it's a huge victory. And, you know, we all must take this opportunity. I wanted to say a few words about this other, you know, restrictions in beauty pageants. And for me personally, I would rather see beauty pageants to be inclusive and to lift all of the restrictions so that they are, you know, they are in line with the 21st century and with women's in 21st century with women's today.
You know, Andrea, and Veronica, that makes a lot of sense. You're such a trendsetter. Who knew? Andrea, what about you when you got involved? Did you ever think that you would be at the forefront of doing this and being this trendsetter? Whether you get involved or not, you're helping so many people, and I'm sure people have come to you and thanked you for it.
Yeah, you know, I did not think that I would be at the forefront of this because these pageants are so exclusive, you know? And I thought, wow, like, can I really make this change for women all over the world? And I thought, I don't know, but I know Gloria can. And Veronica DiDusenko, she's doing it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to join this team and I'm going to do my best to, you know, promote it and just do my best to do my best part, you know, to do the best that I can. And now that, you know, I am at the forefront of this amazing victory and this
just like beautiful thing that we just did for women all over the world. I just feel so grateful to have been so, even just like to have reached out to Veronica. I like just tried it, you know. I didn't even think she would open it, but I knew in my heart.
It took her a little while, but she did, you know. She came through.
Long time. It's like 2 years.
Social media can be tricky.
And unfortunately, you know, we have to say that the last many months for Veronica have been very difficult. So yeah. She's had probably the best excuse of anyone to not focus on this as she took care of her family.
You know, exactly. It was a big issue because we with my team were sitting just thinking if we can still do that because we have, you know, war in Ukraine and we have to put all of our efforts to, you know, to our country, to Ukraine
right.
people, to protect them, to do our best to win this war. But, you know, Andrea and Olivia, who was working on this case also, and Gloria, they took excellent care of this case. And I'm really grateful to them.
Well,
it's like teamwork, and we have it done now, which is unbelievable. Congratulations to, you know, all of us.
That's right. You know, and I'm just thinking, when you talk about victories, you know, you've tasted the victory of this. Hopefully your country, Ukraine, will also taste victory.
Exactly. You know, many of my friends from Ukraine were like texting me, oh my gosh, you did such a huge thing. And, you know, it motivates us. It inspires us. It means we can fight. We can
that's right.
fight what, our freedom and our democracy.
What a great message to leave our audience with. You can fight and you can win. Congratulations to both of you. And best
you,
of luck. Auntie. And thanks so much for being with us today on Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me.
All right, take care. That's going to do it for another episode of Gervie's Law. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.